Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has created the heavens and the earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee from God the Father, in Christ Jesus the Lord, through the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We continue, congregation, with the singing of Psalter 392, the stanzas 1 and 2. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, my might, my constant helper in the fight, my shield, my righteousness, my strong high tower, my Savior true, who doth my enemies subdue, my shelter in distress. The stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalter 392. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, the verses 14 through 29. Mark 9, the verses 14 through 29. But we will first place ourselves under the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Mark 9, beginning with verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. So far the reading of God's word. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Cody and Shania DeCock, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy, and Mrs. Jenny Bazoyan, who needs knee surgery on this Wednesday. Let us seek the Lord's help and countenance in prayer. Lord Almighty and Eternal, and it is on the morning of this thy day that thou hast granted by renewal, out of thy forbearance and out of thy goodness, that the doors of this thy house could be opened, and that we as testimonies of thy long suffering may it enter in within, to here have a place round about thy eternal word and testimony. And may it be with a prayer, Lord, may it be that that true prayer, that true supplication, and prayer wrought by thy Spirit may yet be granted in our midst. For then we must also confess, if we look back on a week which has passed, that, Lord, then it is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. For then in thoughts, in words, and in deeds, then it does all testify against us by renewal. And perhaps one in our midst who must even say, then in the very morning of this day already, once again, then from man's side it is all forfeited. And yet, Lord, yet thou dost gather us together. May a little impression of it be given in our heart. For therein, if it may be given, thou wilt once again call out unto us, Turn ye, turn ye. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? And then thou wilt yet testify of that way wrought in and through the Son of thy love, who has fulfilled all righteousness, but of whom we do testify daily we have no desire after thee, nor to walk in thy ways. But that it might then be in the morning of this day, that thou wouldest yet descend, Lord, as a fruit of thy meritorious work with thy Spirit in our midst, and then to go in and out amongst us, from heart to heart, from pew to pew. For, Lord, we each one, whether we sit here or whether we stand here, then we need that same thing. And that is the opening of our hard hearts for the first time or by renewal, by the operation of thy Spirit. And may there then yet a plea arise from the midst of the congregation, that for thy own name's sake thou wouldest yet look upon us in mercy, to glorify thy name, thy work, and thy ways, and that a man may yet be given and uncovered and discovered to his rightful place before thee as insignificant dust, that thy name might yet be glorified. And thou knowest then each heart and each soul as it is gathered here. And then our thoughts of thee, they are so often so small. But Lord, what is impossible from man's side, that is now possible from thy side. And may it then please thee to add yet to that number of those of which thou hast testified, that they shall come. And that thy living Zion, who has learned a little of that wonder of that word, and they shall come, that they may be granted also by renewal to yet see a little of it. For from man's side thou shalt lead in a way that ever goes further into the depths of the impossibility, and that shall be to magnify thy own name and thy work in the heart of a wretched and a loathsome one. May it then be, Lord, arise yet for thine own name's sake, and that this thy house may become yet a resting place for a moment, for thy Zion also in the midst of this wilderness journey. And so often the arrows do come from every side, and that guilt shall ever remain theirs. But wilt thou yet grant a word, a testimony? Could it be a little encouragement to the soul? And so we may lay the congregation before thee in their entirety. Thou knowest the many crosses, the many burdens, the many cares there may be, known and unknown. Grant then a place in the inner chamber to lay our needs before thee. We think on the elderly amongst us in the evening of life. Wilt thou yet strengthen when also the bodily weakness does testify of that coming end? And may they find a place under the shadow of thy wings, widows and widowers in their loneliness, uphold them. We think also of a member of the congregation who must go for surgery in this week, that thou wouldest yet guide the hands of the physicians, and bless yet the means there also for her bodily recovery. But could it be that it might also yet be a sanctified way for her soul? Hast thou not testified in thy word, Lord, that thou dost not afflict the children of men willingly, but that it is that we might turn unto thee? May it then be for the first time or by renewal, that that heart that we carry within, that that may yet become a burden. Go then with her. We think also on the young couple where thou hast blessed with the birth of a child. Lord, wilt thou grant unto the parents yet a little of that true gratitude that we have not of ourselves, that they may be given to end in thee, and that the mother may receive also renewed strength in due time, and that it may be a child that is known of by thee from the stillness of eternity. To that end, grant the parents wisdom, grant them strength. And Lord, that they and that we all as parents, in the midst of the dark times in which we live, that we would not raise our children for the things of this world, for the things of time and sense, but that there might yet be an earnest and an urgent hasting for that one thing needful, that as fathers and mothers within the family circle, we would yet seek to impress and instill upon the hearts of our dear youth and children that their soul carries a greater value, and that one word from thee carries an inexpressible joy that the world cannot offer. Lord, wilt thou yet look upon our youth, our children? Wilt thou yet draw them unto thyself? Then there lies that mark upon their forehead, that it may become by moments a mark that we may be given to plead upon, and that thou wouldest yet fulfill what is signified therein, to raise up out of them also office bearers and servants unto thee. For therein lies now the future of thy church, as it may yet into this day exist here upon the face of the earth, and that thou wouldest not remove thyself from us, as is so rightly deserved. Remember then the consistory, the brothers, elders, and deacons, in the labors thou hast granted them to do and laid upon them. Strengthen and uphold, together with thy servant who may labor in this, amongst this people. May they also by moments be given to experience, underneath are the everlasting arms, and that by the preaching of the word also, many might yet be added to that number. Grant him what he stands in need of, also in the place he may be in this day. And all thy servants where they may labor, strengthen and uphold many in the climbing of the years. Wilt thou grant them what is needed, our brother student, the candidate also, where he may labor. May he also experience the opening of thy word and the unction of thy dear spirit, and prosper yet his way in due time, that he may take his place also in the midst of this area. And so the needs, the cares, they are many, in the midst of land and nation also, that our leaders also would yet receive that desire to return to thy word and to thy commandments. For we do live in such a time where love does grow cold, and it is to be feared that thou dost more and more remove thyself from us. And then thy word does testify of it that perilous time shall come. But Lord, thou hast not changed, and therein lies now the hope and the expectation of a people at times tossed as it were on every side, that thy word and thy work that thou shalt shall remain eternally the same, but that our leaders then yet may be given to recognize that they are accountable unto thee, who has set them in that place, and that they might be to that end yet a means in thy hand to turn us as a nation unto thee. O, from man's side truly impossible, but wilt thou in wrath remember mercy and go before us yet also in the morning of this day, also for thy servant who may be here. Lord, thou knowest the heart, May he be then as an empty vessel, that all the pride of his side also may be cut off and cut down, and that there may yet be empty vessels also in the midst of the congregation, to bear him up on the wings of prayer, and that thou wouldest yet be on his right and on his left, to grant the matters in the heart, the words upon the lips. And could it be yet that thy Zion may yet hear their way, Lord, also, oh, could it be for one here and there, perhaps their life in the inner chamber in this past week. Wilt thou then be yet a surprising God? What we forget, wilt thou not forget? We ask it in the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with the singing of Psalter 190. The four stanzas. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Shamed let me never be. O save me in thy righteousness. Give ear and rescue me. Give ear and rescue me. The four stanzas of Psalter 190. All that the Father giveth unto me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Dear congregation, those were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself upon his earthly sojourn in John 6, verse 37, where he points out to that remnant which shall be saved and which shall be brought forth in the fullness of time as that bride which he had purchased, which he shall in that day of days present unto his Father, when they all shall be one. That is that number which points to the fruit of his meritorious labors, in that way in which he has trodden, coming to do the will of his Father most perfectly, but then in and through that way of true faith, wrought within the heart by the experience thereof. And beloved, in that history we have read together, in that miracle which we hope to consider, and in your life and in my life, that is now that comes to that most critical point. True faith. And what is then that true faith? And how shall I know if that which lives within is of the Lord? What are the exercises of faith that now joins in that union with him who as the Emmanuel is very man and very God? Oh, in that history preceding that piece that we have read, there the disciples, they have beheld the Father's approval upon him as the Emmanuel. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Very little bit, we could say it very simply, children. Very little of heaven had descended to the earth. There the disciples had beheld an incomprehensible wonder. Yet the other way is not possible, children, youth. Of the earthly things to ascend to the heavens, that is impossible. And now have you learned that we remain ever of this earth earthly? So it may be your burden on the morning of this day. That is a pointing in that text wherewith we have opened. All that the Father giveth to me, they shall come. In that way of true saving faith. Yeah, who are they? We shall know them by their fruits. A Rahab. A Ruth. Oh, then we behold among them a Manasseh, a Paul, a Mary, a Lydia. Yeah, what marked those lives, congregation? What marked now those lives? He will regard the prayer of the destitute, the psalmist has testified, and not despise their prayer. And we see immediately as the Lord Jesus and as the disciples have come down from that mount that the devil seeks to distort what had there taken place. He seeks to ruin it. But yet the Lord shall overcome also what the devil seeks to ruin and what the devil seeks to distort and what the devil seeks to throw into confusion. Oh, he shall overrule all things for good. And it points, we shall not so much dwell on that this morning, but it points also every time we see a miracle. It points also time and time again to the perfection of that eternal healing which awaits, which shall not be in this life, but in that to come through that true saving faith. But it also then points to that sharp discerning life, my dear traveler, to eternity. And what portion do we have? Well or woe? And now he is still gathering to this very day. May it be also amongst us as we turn to the words of our text. Out of that portion read and out of the context thereof, Mark 9. And we take the verses 22, 23, and 24. Mark 9, the verses 22 through 24, where we read in God's word, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And beneath these words we write by way of theme, the demoniac's father. Children, that is maybe a difficult word for you. That is a word that expresses also what was going on in the life of that child, of that father. And then if you may have your health, children, and your strength, shall you always remember to acknowledge the Lord for that, dear youth? For then there are parents that know also that strife amongst us. And that expresses now what was going on in the life of that child. He had a neurological disorder, children. But he was also in a special way gripped by an evil spirit. And it is the father that comes to the Lord Jesus. Thus the theme, the demoniac's father. In the first place, his hope in Jesus. For we read in verse 22, to the end, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. In the second place, his struggle before Jesus. For we read in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And in the third place, his confession to Jesus, as we see in verse 24, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The demoniac's father, his hope in Jesus, his struggle before Jesus, and his confession to Jesus. May the Lord himself open his word. But if thou canst do anything, we read in our text words. So we have said the Lord Jesus Christ has descended from the Mount of Transfiguration. And there the excellencies have been proclaimed to that small group which he has taken with him, of whom that he was. There it had been in the Mount of Transfiguration, marvelously displayed of him as the Emmanuel, who, as the psalmist has said, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. And then in him in all perfection, without sin. Therefore God, thy God, we read, he hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. But now forth from the glories which had shone forth upon that mountain, then we see the disciples, the Lord Jesus, again descend into the confusion of a sin-filled earth, a sin-filled world. Has it become confusion for you? Or are you at home in the world? Is it your delight? And in our thoughts we see that multitude together, reasoning among each other. Yeah, the religious world congregation, the scribes, the Pharisees, reasoning together. For those disciples, they could not cast out that evil spirit. And then man begins to reason, does he not? Is that also your religion, but a building of reasoning? For the Lord shall now so instruct also that Father there that comes to Christ. It lies not in man's reasoning. And that becomes now so a comfort also for a people upon the face of this earth. That by moments the Lord cuts all that reasoning off and it all must go by the wayside, along with all their head knowledge. And then they may express by moments what a wonder it is that it is not a way of reason, but it is that way of true faith. And that way of true faith that is not understood, no. Thy way is in the sea, the psalmist has testified. Thy path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps, they are not known. And in the midst of that multitude, in the midst of that confusion, there we may behold him, the chiefest among 10,000. But is it not a picture of what Paul has testified to the Hebrews? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. What had happened? Children, what had happened there in the midst of that people, dear youth? That father had come with his son, who was so seriously, so grievously tormented. And he had come with a great hope and with a great expectation. And disappointed. For the Lord Jesus was not there. And his disciples, they could not help him. And now he comes with that question, if, beloved, if thou canst help, is it not the language of unbelief? Is it not the language of unbelief? And must we not believe? And we are not to doubt, are we? Unbelief is a sin, is it not? Is there a remnant amongst us that knows now the strife of this Father? If. A great hope, a great expectation. And then no answer for the soul. Pressed upon the soul, O outside of faith, he that believeth not is condemned already. And if we know not that strife, my dear traveler, to eternity, then one of two things. Then we are either yet for our own account traveling to eternity, or we stand upon a false foundation, one or the other. For that if, you say that is unbelief and that is sin, And surely we may never to that end put an approval upon unbelief that is so true. But if we know not the strength, if we know not the strife of that unbelief, and if that state that we lie in by nature of unbelief, and if those further exercises in our life concerning unbelief have not been uncovered, then there has also never been taught a necessity for the knowledge of faith. Those two can never be separated from each other. They go, as it were, hand in hand. Oh, he comes to Christ with that, if thou canst help. But that is now that if that man takes along with himself from paradise. That if. And now it is a question if we know something of that personally within the heart. Oh, that is that if that now becomes such a burden, and the further they are on that pathway, the greater that burden becomes. That wretched unbelief which reigns in the heart and wells up time after time. And now that if that comes upon that rebuke which had come before, that of the Lord Jesus Christ, a rebuke where he has testified in the midst of that people, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And who was that now pointed at? What must we make of that? O faithless and perverse generation. Is that now to the Father? Is that now to those disciples? Is that now to the multitude? We may apply it to each one, their congregation, in the midst of that whole gathering. The disciples could not heal. Earlier they had been granted through faith that power to heal. Read in God's word. And now because of their unbelief is a solemn thought also for God's servants' congregation. Now because of their unbelief, the multitude was there mocking, as it were, that work and the works of their master. And thus in their unbelief, oh, that is a thought that also God's servants must take with them, also in the offices. They stood, as it were, their very sender in the way. And the reason that that unbelief was there, that comes also to the foreground in the end of that piece we have read. A lack of prayer, a lack of fasting, a lack in the inner chamber, And then in that way being a detriment to God's church from man's side. But it was also a rebuke in the midst of that people to the multitude. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? The 3 years of Christ's ministry, it draws to an end. And what is it now that wearies the Lord Jesus Christ when he utters those words? Because therein, beloved, we stand in a great danger in our day. Christ was wearied among the people because of their unbelief. May it become a burden. Shall you beg the Lord for it? How long shall I suffer you? It is as though he is wearied in the midst of his earthly sojourn. Oh, it is a rebuke. But now in that rebuke, it is also as a call out also in this morning. It is a call out in that way to bow unconditionally at His feet. And now for this Father who has come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then one says now, in that condition in which He is therein, is it now all unbelief, if thou canst do anything? Is there now a soul amongst us, perhaps in this morning hour, with such a cry in the heart? If thou canst do anything, for that Father no longer knew the way. Oh, perhaps there was a time, a hope, an expectation. Perhaps a time that you came up to God's house with that expectation of the psalmist. Perhaps with a longing heart, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. And then you had to leave again those doors without a word. And then an empty heart, disappointed, no answer for the soul. Perhaps with a heavy heart. Perhaps as it were at an end upon the way, no longer knowing the way forward. For what do we here see? You see, the Lord Jesus has now rebuked that multitude. But now under that rebuke of the Lord Jesus Christ, there in the midst of that multitude, One is driven out of that multitude with a need for his soul. And that one comes forth, showing forth those fruits within his heart. What is that fruit? Humility, congregation. And that is there as a mark for that humility where it is true, that bows under those rebukes. In that humility there is more willingness to be admonished than to be praised. That is the mark of an uncovered soul. David said, "Let the righteous smite me, and it shall be a kindness." And I read in God's word by way of Proverbs, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul." And now God's children, I do not say they like those rebukes. That is a different story. But the Lord brings them under those rebukes. And he brings them to submit to that rod of correction. That is those exercises of faith where they are brought, congregation, into the impossibility from their side. Is there one who knows of it? But now in the midst of that impossibility, oh, is that your case this morning, soul? Reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, and there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. But in the midst of that impossibility, there comes something. Oh, there comes something of a wonder now for this Father. For now that command comes to bring him unto the Lord Jesus. Oh, there comes a place where that man in the midst of all that goes on, all the turmoil around him, he may now lay his case before the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Bring him to me. Oh, pour out, we would say, your heart now before me, the King of Kings. And you can count on it there, the devil rages the loudest. And there that child is cast upon the ground. Oh, there it comes truly to that point where no human help can in any way undertake. And the Father's life is wrapped up as it were in this child. And he fears that child shall perish. And now if that child shall perish, that shall be the destruction of that child. And that is now the intent of the devil. Fathers, mothers, youth, children, that is now the intent of the devil. Our destruction, your destruction and mine. Also in all that he gives us in our day by way of technology. No, then do not look, parents, to your youth. But dear parents, shall we then take care what our children have? And dear youth, when you see your reflection of your forehead upon that instrument, and we need not hide that, that is mostly an instrument of the devil in our day. And we can like it or we cannot like it, that is irrelevant, beloved. But when you see now your reflection of your forehead in that instrument, shall you think of that? The devil's tool to destroy. And then shall you think also for a moment of your baptized forehead? And then cast that instrument off from you for a moment. And then go in the inner chamber. An instrument of destruction that is the devil's desire. Nothing more. And now for this father, the closer that that saving help draws near to him, the more vehemently the devil roars. And then a question to that father. How long? How long ago is it that this came unto him? Yeah, of a child. Of a child, it has never been different. It has always been that way. Yeah, why does the Lord Jesus now ask that question? Ah, beloved, it is a picture of where we must be led back now to original sin. What we are by nature in our birth against our Creator, our Sustainer till this very moment. And now the Father is called to reflect here for a moment, to look back. Unto the utter hopelessness of that case with which he has come before the Lord Jesus. Ah, then we could say it arises as a cry out of the heart. I pour out my complaint before him. I show him all my trouble. It has never been different. Have you been led into it? Oh, outside of that knowledge of our original sin, there is no knowledge of Christ, no revelation of him. And then that knowledge that it is but a pit of corruption from the very moment of birth. Oh, is there then not a cry that comes out, those who are no stranger of that way, that comes out of the soul, be not far from me? For trouble is near, for there is none to help of a child. It has never been different. And then a bowing under that guilt of that corruption which we have taken along with ourselves. But then there lies more in it. How long? of a child. And see, then it is necessary to be brought into the depth of our original sin, to whatever it pleases the Lord, to whatever extent it pleases the Lord to bring a soul. But something of it must be known. For Christ will magnify His work in the heart of a sinner, my dear traveler, to eternity. And then man shall go to the wayside completely. Oh, His divinity, His power must come to the foreground in what He has meritoriously wrought over a three-headed enemy, over the devil, and over the evil flesh. And it is there at that point when we think also of the hope of this Father. I could say it very simply, that separates, beloved, the empty chatter of the false believer and the humble wonder where another opens away from the other side. Oh, what is the hope of this Father? Perhaps one says in this morning, does that Father now have hope there within that verse? Does that Father have hope? Is there now also some hope in that unbelief that lies there as it were at His feet? Is there yet hope in that distress? Is there yet hope in that plea? Yes, there is. Because congregation, that hope that He is there with at the feet of Jesus, you see, that begins to plead upon that mercy of God. And in the midst of the urgency of the soul, there comes a pleading. Nothing more. Yeah, why not more? Why not more? Because that people have no rights left. And they have embraced what they truly deserve. And yet within it there lies a plea. Make haste, O my God, to deliver me. And they have nothing more than that, beloved. Emptied of self. Haste to help me, O Lord. And then we could say, is there then faith in that hope of that Father? Yeah, we have to deal carefully with that, beloved. In the case of this Father here, yes, there is faith in there. I do not say that He can see it. That is a different matter. They do not see their faith at that moment. And there also shall be no rest outside of that only foundation where Christ shall only bring him. But it is a picture also in that hope which is there expressed in our first point. And no man can come unto me. Where is he in his pleading? That is before the feet of Christ. But what now has to happen in the life also of that Father? The Lord will now take him a little further into his helplessness. In that way in which he will also behold his son's misery. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. As we go to our second thought, his struggle before Jesus. For if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe. Is that not a strange question which comes there to the Father? It is his duty to believe. It's as though the Lord Jesus holds it there before him. And he cannot believe, and he must believe. It is that gift of God, as Scripture does testify, and yet it is impossible for him to believe. There is hope in that question of the Father, and yet there is unbelief. You say, is that people then not in a confusion? You ask such a one. If they receive yet a little opening, if that is their pathway. If they receive house visitation at such a time and they may pour out the heart, then perhaps the office bearers leave not saying so much. But then there is also a little joy in the heart. But is that now your question in this morning? Is there a soul amongst us? Is there now one stronger than that evil spirit? Is there now one stronger than that evil corruption which I have taken upon myself from paradise? Or shall the devil have the victory after all? Will the Lord cast off forever, the psalmist has testified, Asaph, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Hath God forgotten to be gracious, as hath he in anger shed up his tender mercy? It is as though that Father is held there in the cords and in the grips of death. And we would say, why then now at that moment and at that time and in that question, why now does faith not break through for that Father? Oh, why does Christ restrain himself, we would say? Because it comes now in the life of this Father to a crucial point. For that life, and for that life to be secure, and for that spiritual life to find a foundation, no, that is not to discourage those souls who stand from afar and who stand without, but my dear traveler to eternity, also soul, perhaps that is your strife. Read then also what our old fathers have said. That must come to Christ, congregation, and that hope, you say, yeah, but that hope that was also given by God. Yeah, but that people do not know it. They cannot see it as God sees it. And the Lord now brings that people to a place where they cannot meet the Lord upon a hope. And then it is as though we could say it in these words. Oh, shall such a one then perish, yet outside of that foundation? Oh, there the power of that unbelief, it is learned. The power of that wretched snare that they carry within them. You say, well, would it be well with that Father if he would meet the Lord at that point? Is it well with such a soul in the midst of that strife? Yeah, ask that people. And then they will say, if it is of the Lord, it is well. But it misses yet that foundation. And then there is yet that unrest within the soul. If thou canst believe. Beloved, that Father is here in the strife, and that people come into the strife. That is now that laboring to enter in by faith that God's word testifies. And they shall not be a stranger of that way. Let us labor, therefore, Paul has written to the Hebrews, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall in the same example of unbelief. As the Lord Jesus Christ not testified himself, strive to enter in. And then for a soul as that Father, as that whole pathway now being for naught. Had he now come to the Lord Jesus for nothing, was all in vain, would his hope here be forever cast off? Oh, had not the heart of that father been drawn by the glories of what he had heard of that greater physician, is there a soul who knows of it? Of what Isaiah had testified, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And then shall the mockers have the victory afterward, if thou canst believe. And what does he there learn? If thou canst believe. And he cannot. For he has no strength and no power in himself. And now the Lord Jesus turns his question around and he lays it upon him. He had come with that question, if thou canst help. And he receives in return, if thou canst believe. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ will have him even own the guilt of his unbelief. You see, does anything then remain of that people, not from their side, congregation? But in turning that question around now that the Lord Jesus lays it back upon him, then at the same time there in the midst of his impotence, for it is not an if whether Christ can do anything, but with him all things are possible. But he brings that Father now into the impossibility as though he lays before him. The limitation is not on my side. No, I am the very delight of my heavenly Father. I am he who has come forth to fulfill all righteousness. I am he of whom it has been testified upon the Mount of Transfiguration. And that now for such a one, of the heavenly Father himself, the cloud which overshadowed them, and that voice which came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Oh, as though he lays before that Father, all things are possible. Why? Because the victory is mine. That is the very purpose for which I am come, that is to destroy the stronghold. And he who holds in his grip your child. Oh, it is there as a pointing, we may say, to that way of the cross in which he went willingly. For I shall have the victory over that threefold death, hell, and the grave. Oh, I am he who is stronger than that strong man armed laid forth in the parable. Oh, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. It is he who did have the power and the victory over the prince of this world. But Father, he who holds your son captive, he is judged already. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But tossed into the tempest, let that self-knowledge and what they remain may be brought to the foreground. Is there one in our midst? Is there now a people in our midst? In such a case, in the midst of their impotence. For there it must also come spiritually now in the soul. And then to have that question laid before them, because now that people walk with a knowledge that they stand outside and eternally outside, and they have embraced that. And now if thou canst believe. And then within the heart, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then that soul's burden, he that believeth not is condemned already, and that is their condemnation. A congregation, the hypocrite has no strife at such a place. But that true people now, they come into the strife, and there they have no answer. There is now the separation and the difference. Or do you go on unconcerned for your lot for eternity? Oh, beloved, without that true faith, we shall not stand before him. But it is now there in that place where they have no answer. And from their side, they may acquiesce to the Lord. Oh, there the Lord can make no mistake with such a soul. For there he may cast them off, and they bow under it righteously, And yet, at the same time, you see, he puts that faith to the test. Oh, he is, we could say reverently speaking, he is drawing that Father with one hand, and he is withholding him with the other hand. We go to our third thought, we sing first. 112, the stanzas 3 and 4. Let all who seek to see thy face be glad and joyful in thy grace. Let those who thy salvation love forevermore proclaim, O praise the Lord who dwells above and magnify his name. 3 and 4 of 112. Thank you. Our third thought is confession to Christ. For we read in verse 24, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Ah, why the change, beloved? But there now changes in the life and in the heart of that father. Lord, I believe. Beloved, in the soul's experience, it is now that empty, stretched forth hand that receives that gift of faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, Paul writes to Ephesians 2 verse 8, it is the gift of God, and so it is learned, and so it is experienced in the soul, and outside of that it falls short, my dear traveler, to eternity. And in instructing in that way, they shall learn their utter impotence in that pathway. Then it is experience that loathsome I, that may be your burden this morning. And the longer upon the pathway, the heavier that I becomes in their life. Ask now that people, that loathsome I must be removed for the first time. And then I hear one say, by renewal, and then again by renewal. You see that people, they are so busy working with themselves, but then that I is to themselves, and that is not to his honor and to his glory. But the insignificance of self, oh, he shall again bring that to the foreground. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. And the moment that loathsome eye is removed, their faith is granted and exercised. And there it breaks through. And then it becomes true of what God's word testifies to the soul. I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, Job has said. But now mine eye seeth thee. Then it is placed in that empty hand, and then they may embrace it, beloved. Do you see now how personal it becomes in the life of a sinner? Then immediately that conquering power of the King of Kings himself flows forth. And then every impossibility, then every mountain, then everything else must go by the wayside. And then it is a smooth path between the Lord and their soul. And then what do they see for a moment, in whatever measure it grants now the Lord to give it within the soul? O him who God hath exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. But now with that breaking forth and that breaking out of faith in the life of that father, then we read something. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, there is that breaking out of faith, but beloved, there is also that confession that comes forth from his lips. And that is now so precious, help thou mine unbelief. That is now the language of a soul that has been instructed into self-knowledge. Do you see it? That is now so important. For that father in his confession to Christ, he cannot conceal that he fears that unbelief will overpower him again. Oh, he wrestles with what he remains in himself. But unto such a one it is those moments that by moments that testimony, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness, and when they are weak, they are strong. For there Christ shines forth with the power of his deity. And there they experience in the soul something of him, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal to God. There they may experience for a moment an embrace. Oh, was there a moment last week? Those who attended the Lord's Supper. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. There is in that confession of the Father, help thou mine unbelief. It is that childlike trust. It is that life of gratitude which there springs forth. That cry to be upheld daily, yes, also in that spiritual life of grace. That is that supplicating of faith, beloved. Be thou my helper in the strife, the psalmist has said. My strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life. Thy spear confront the enemy. Amid the conflict, O my Lord, thy precious promise let me hear. The faithful reassuring word, that is what they now need. The faithful reassuring word, I am thy Savior, do not fear. And now that faith, it shall not be put to shame. Then they perhaps fear their whole life so often, but in the end, oh, that shall be the faith that shall conquer. All things, yes, even that three-headed enemy which rages against them in the strife. And though it appeared also, we must close, beloved. But though it appeared that where the Lord Jesus had the victory over that child, that he would leave him for dead, it was that faith which overcame, yes, very death, because it receives in its hand that which Jesus Christ himself has wrought. It is his gift, and then that wonder, that they shall never fathom. It is his gift, and he beholds it as them, in them, as though it is their own. And now why is that breaking through? And then we shall close. And why now is that breaking through so lacking in our day? And that is the same reason that it could not break through there, beloved. That life of faith and that life of prayer, children of the Lord. Is it then not all guilt by renewal from our side? That goes hand in hand, no, not because of prayer, but upon prayer. May the Lord instruct in it. Amen. We close with prayer. Lord, we seek thy countenance at the close of this morning service. And thou hast granted that thy word could go forth. And Lord, it remains ever a stammering from man's sight. But may it please thee yet to apply it to the heart as thou dost see fit. That it remain not behind, but that we may be given to take it with us. Go then with us in this day. May there be yet, Lord, to keep thy day holy. Also in that regard, and may bring us and grant us a place within thy house also in this evening hour. And may we acknowledge thee for thy help. Wilt thou forgive all that was amiss in both speaking and listening? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We close with the singing of 152, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise, his word so rich and free. 1, 2, 3, and 4 of 152. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.